Juan, let's talk about a little bit, touch upon the history of tamales. Tamales date back over 5,000 years.
Yes, actually about 7,000 years in Mundo. You know, the Mayans, the Aztecs, you know, those folks, you know, before they went out to battle, their wives or ladies, they would pack a bunch of tamales because they kept well. For the long travels, for the long hauls through the jungles. And guess what? They used to stuff them with eel, shrimp, frogs.
Because that was readily available in that area.
Yeah, exactly. And they also use banana leaves as well.
Banana leaves. And we traditionally use corn husks.
That is correct.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212 if you want to join in on the conversation on tamale making. How many pounds of tamales will you be making this holiday season? Will you be buying them? Will you be shipping tamales to family and friends around the country? Where do you buy your tamales? Who makes the best tamales in town? Will you be having a tamalada? If so, how many pounds of masa will you be making? This year, I am sad to announce I'm not having a tamalada because we are traveling next week. So this year, we're having to buy our tamales from the Santa Fe Grill. So my family, this is the first year we've not made a tamalada.
Well, never fear. The good guys from the Santa Fe Grill are here, Edmundo. And yes, indeed, we do make vegetarian tamales. Edmundo's choice is bean tamales, a traditional masa seasoned to perfection, conditioned with some refried beans in there. You can't go wrong.
And you know, what's interesting about refried bean tamales is that my mom, every year, we didn't celebrate traditionally Thanksgiving. So she would save the Thanksgiving turkey and cook it up in tamales. So we would have turkey tamales, but she always made bean tamales because for financial reasons. It was just cheaper to make tamales with beans.
And they're delicious.
And they are great. And they go a long way in, you know, spreading them out. You know, you top them up with some fresh salsa, some guacamole. What's your favorite side dish with tamales?
Well, you know what? After you mentioned guacamole about 3 years ago, we've been dabbing with that in Mundo. It's really good. My wife likes to get a little bit extra sauce, top it out with the extra sauce. So I've been dabbing a little bit of extra sauce and some guacamole in there, you know, and it just gives it that Christmas color, you know, that red and green in there. Really, really delicious.
All right, let's go to our social media desk. We've gotten a lot of social media questions all week long. And by the way, again, all calls and social media questions will be entered into a drawing to win either a $25 gift card to Safe Mart so you can buy your own supplies to make tamales, or let the good guys at the Santa Fe Grill with a $20 gift certificate to pick up your tamales at the Santa Fe Grill. Anthony Moreno, what are people saying on social media?
A lot of action already on social media, Edmundo. We want to remind everyone to like our Facebook page. We have the live stream going right now so you can watch and also join in the conversation there at the KRWG Public Media Facebook page. We have some questions about masa, plenty of questions about masa. First, one from Jennifer, who asks, what is the best ratio of meat to masa?
Well, that depends on your personal preference. Now, if you like them really meaty, do you like them light meat? It just depends. Like Edmundo talked about it earlier. Normally, for 10 pounds of masa, he uses 8 pounds of meat. He likes his meaty.
I like my meaty, yes.
And that's what I would go with. That's what I normally do, about 10 to 8 pounds.
Okay, and we have another question from Jackie, who wants to know, how can she season or flavor the masa?
Well, you know what? The way the good guys at Santa Fe Grill do it, the masa, you know, all the grocers, they have the ready-prepared masa, you know, from Roberto's, El Indio, Bueno. And what we do, we get the masa, we season it with a little bit of manteca, which is rendered pork fat, you know, to condition it. And then just add a little dab of salt. And then we throw a splash of some red chili sauce, preferably after you cook the red chili sauce in the pork, because it has that nice flavor, a little bit of extra oils, a little bit of extra grease in there to condition. You mix it up really, really well in there, play with it, massage it, and you'll get a smooth texture on it for an even spread. Remember, the key is also make sure your leaves, your corn husks, you soak them in hot water and they're moist. and they're moistened. And when you spread them, it's also a good idea to spread. If you use a spatula, if you use a spoon, to dip the spoon or the spatula in warm water as you spread it, and you get better results.
Okay, 575-646-2212. 575-646-2212 if you want to join in on the conversation on KRWG Public Media's Tamale Confidential. I'm Edmundo Resendez. My guest is Juan Morales, president of the Santa Fe Grill. If you want to join in on the conversation, let us know what's on your mind as we approach the holiday season with tamales, an annual New Mexico tradition. Let's go to our phone line where Brayden is standing by. Brayden, welcome to KRWG's Tamale Confidential.
Hey, Mundo. Good morning, Juan. Glad to be on KRWG Confidential. You guys getting me hungry right now talking about all this tamales.
What's your favorite tamale?
Oh, I love the green chili chicken and cheese tamale. But I was going to ask Juan what he's been seeing in town, what the most favorite is or the response, and if they make any, let's say, bean and cheese ones for those looking on a meatless type of tamale.
Absolutely. You know what? Vegetarians, my vegetarian friends, when I make it with the cheese and chili, you know, I condition the masa with olive oil or vegetable oil so we could keep it virgin so we won't have no animal fat in there. And we do make a bean tamale for a special request. As a matter of fact, Edmundo's taking some to Disneyland next week. What do you think about that?
That's great. That's good.
Yes, you know, right now, by far, red outsells everything. But we also make a turkey green chili. I had requests for chicken and green chili, so we're making some of those tomorrow as well. But right now, you could call the Santa Fe Grill hotline, 575-532-8646, and place your order. And we have some available right now as we speak.
All right, thank
you,
Brayden.
What's the deadline to get them in? The deadline just to make sure or get your orders in early before Christmas?
Well, Santa Fe Grill's open on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, so it's never too late.
I'm a last-minute shopper. We'll see you then.
You got it, buddy.
575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. If you want to join in on the conversation on KRWG's Tamale Confidential. Juan, let me ask you a question about meats. Do you ever make tamales with beef?
Yes, we do.
I never hear a lot of conversation about beef tamales.
No, because, you know, pork is by far the favorite, especially this time of year. And this dates back to, you know, we're talking about, you know, the 1800s, 1700s with the Spaniards, because what they would do every January, December, they would harvest all the pork to last them all year round. So they had an abundance of pork.
Okay. And so pork is king.
Pork is king.
Okay. 575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. Let's talk about your grandmother's recipe. What goes into your grandmother's tamale recipe?
Well, like I said, you know, grandmother Lupita, she made her from scratch, from soaking the corn to grinding the corn and all that good stuff. Now today, nowadays, you could get the masa pre-made. Or, you know, I have this Maseca brand right here that you can buy at your grocery store right here. And all you need to do is follow the instructions, add the water, and then you could doctor up as your recipe. My grandmother, she used pork fat, rendered pork fat for salt and a lot of TLC and hot water for her tamale and a little bit of salt.
Okay. So what did she stuff them with?
Oh, she would stuff them with red chili pork meat. She would do sweet tamales as well.
Okay, yeah, we're going to talk about sweet tamales because we've gotten some requests for some sweet tamale recipes, so we want to share that. But let's talk about conditioning the pork meat. How do you go about cooking the pork meat so that it tastes good?
Well, you know, the way we do it at Santa Fe Grill, you know, we get about like 60 pounds of pork cushion. We throw them in our kettle.
What's the difference between pork cushion and pork butt?
Pork butt, it's not really a butt. It's more of a shoulder of a picnic. People just call it pork butt. But what it is, that it's pork cushion, it has less fat. And pork butt, pork shoulder, pork picnic, it has bone in.
Okay.
So if you use pork cushion, you'll yield more meat.
Okay. And does it affect the flavor? Because, you know, the old saying that the pork, the bone adds flavor to it?
It does add flavor to it, and they're both great products. They're both great products. Preferably, you know, for me that I'm in the tamal business, I like to yield more meat, so I use the pork cushion.
Okay. 575-646-2212. All right, so let us go to our phone lines where we have lots of calls coming in. Let us go to Virginia. Virginia, you are on with Juan Morales.
Hello, Juan.
Hello.
I just called to add a comment about the meat, the filling.
Yes, ma'am.
In our family, what we do is the day before we're going to make the tamales, we roast a pork roast and a beef roast, and then we shred it and mix it all together.
You mix the pork and the beef together?
Yes, we do, and it is fabulous.
I could just imagine. Yes, my dad, you know, he used to experiment a lot, and he used to like to roast the pork himself. But you know, I haven't experimented with beef and pork together, so you know, we'll give that a try.
But that is not a new thing. That was my grandmother and all her family's recipe, and they were from Arizona before it became a state. So. I also wanted to say, I called in last year and I told you that my family made put an olive in the tamale, in the base of the tamale. And you told me that the name of the part of Mexico where that comes from, and I'd like to write it down if you can say it and then I can pronounce it slow.
Sonora.
No, well, I knew Sonora, but you said it was from a particular either town or it started like it was a sea, I think.
Well, there's Agua Prieta, there's Colima.
No. I guess you don't remember.
I don't remember.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, well, those were the comments that I wanted to make, and this is fun, and I hope you guys keep it up. I sent an email to my family, and I know I have family in Washington, D.C. listening to you through the Internet.
Great.
Outstanding.
Thank you very much for helping spread the word.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you, Virginia. 575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. If you want to join in on the conversation, what sides will you be using this holiday season with your tamales? My personal favorite, guacamole and fresh salsa. What about drinks? What goes good with tamales? Juan, what do you prefer as your drink?
Well, I'm a beer drinker in Mundo, and I like an ice-cold Budweiser. And my wife, she likes a Chardonnay with her tamales.
Okay, there you go. What do you prefer to have with your tamales? What's your drink of choice? Marion, you are on KRWG's Tamales Confidential. What's on your mind, Marion? Mario.
Hello?
Mario. What's on your mind, sir?
I could ask a question, but I'm that lady that called. I'm from Arizona, and we do a mixture also. We've been doing it forever, beef and pork. That's real good. And I like my tamales tostaditos the next day or day later, and then I put a egg over the top with some salsa. Oh, I love that, like that. But like I say, I'm from Arizona, and I travel to right there to El Paso once a week for work, and on the way back, I'm always looking for a good place to eat, so I wonder if you could let us all know where you're located at, sir.
2240 East Missouri Avenue.
Is that in what city is that?
Las Cruces, New Mexico.
It's in Las Cruces. Okay, I was thinking Santa Fe, but yeah, because I pass right through Las Cruces on the way to make my delivery, then I come back to Las Cruces, and I either stop in Las Cruces or Denny, because I fell in love with the New Mexico food. And I'm always looking for a different place, so I'll definitely be looking for you on this time on the way back.
You got it, sir. And we're off the interstate. You can't miss it. Just Google it, and you'll find us.
I will do that, and I appreciate your show. I just ran across it, and I'm loving every minute of it.
And I do love those tamales tostaditos as well.
That is my dad. He would make my mom make them on the comal, which is the skillet, and just roast them up, get them. The smell will permeate the air, and just something we all woke up to.
That was great. That's great. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Mario. 575-646-2212. 575-646-2212. You are on, Libby, with Juan Morales. What's on your mind, Libby?
My sisters and I have continued the tradition that is, of course, every tia and abuela and even my tios and father got into, right? The men would mix the masa outside and the women would smear on the inside. Anyway, my question is, we've gotten a little bit lazy. We buy the prepared masa, and I noticed some of the ingredients in some of the brands have a little bit of baking powder, and I noticed some of the masas, the pre-mades, they come out, one comes out really fluffy, the finished product, and others come out, the masa's kind of tough. What do you recommend to make sure that it's consistently fluffy if I make my own masa?
I would recommend using some baking powder in there.
So baking powder is the trick.
Is baking
and then
powder?
I had a second.
Yes, ma'am.
Awesome. I had a second comment. Whenever we have a little bit of masa left over, what we pull out, we go to the pantry, we pull out some cinnamon and brown sugar or piloncillo or anise and nuts and raisins and make a sweet tamale, little dessert ones. Do you have a favorite recipe that you like, or do you even do that?
Yes, absolutely. And with that, we add shredded coconut to it, raisins, and let me see. Yeah,